On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are, rolling downhill in the last partial week of April. It is the 27th day of April, 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room, the live, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is Conversation Radio's cyber chat room half. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. I know folks are having some issues with Java. I wish I could tell you what the answer is, but I don't know that anybody knows. It's a booger. But at any rate, good evening, Gerald. Good evening, Mad Mike in South Carolina. Good evening, Texas D. And good evening to longtime and veteran, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Man Cave. Sparky has folded space this evening, third stage field navigator that he is. Oh, you're kidding. Oh, you're kidding, Marty. No. Email rolling in from Marty right quick. Moran Monday nomination. Those who want the designated hitter in the National League. Oh, foul, foul. Ick. Be gone. Yuck. No, please. Hell, I can't watch American League Baseball for the designated hitter. Anyway, thank you very kindly. Randy and PA noting loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac. Thank you. Oh, Marty. The answer to issues with Java, don't use a Java-based chat room. Great! We'll just get that taken care of 5 minutes ago. Yeah, I don't think so. Let's see. I've got some instructions, helpful instructions coming through here from Randy in PA about the chat room. Okay, well, it's not an adware thing. That's just plain flat can't get in, Randy. Oh, but anyway, I got away from my original précis of the introduction. Yeah, it is the 27th day of April 2015. Man, I almost folded space 2 years. Whew, mother. We'll be done with April on the 30th, which is a Thursday. By the way, a quick program note. I do this so seldom as to, it's just downright rare. No program Friday. No Friday on the front porch. Maybe we'll do a thorn in the front porch Thursday instead. But no program on Friday. Friday is the 22nd wedding anniversary for Agnes and me. And I don't know, we'll go somewhere and we may just wind up popping a bag of popcorn and going and sitting in the backyard or something, but we're going to spend it together because, well, it matters. So no program Friday. Let's see. Quick reminder, this is a listener-supported radio network. We don't have any Buy Gold Now ads or any ads for herbal hair growth tonics or Bose Wave radios or Auric vacuum cleaners that'll pick up bowling balls and drop them back on your Swedish mattress made with foam developed by NASA. Mm-mm, none of that. Just your kind contributions. And the more the merrier. We got almost all the way up to being done with April's fundraising. We can close that out this evening at the $200 level. And then we will get started on May and try to get out front a little bit on May so that we don't, so that we, when we inevitably get into the holes we get into, maybe we'll be all right. But end of the month, middle of the month bills, most of them have been paid. End of the month bills, getting paid, hopefully. And time to start on first of the month bills. Because it's all bills. Bills, 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 bills. Let's see. It is Moran Monday. And I had a story that I wanted to go into on Friday that I hope will make it into the program this evening. But there are, well, there's just a couple of things that are thank you, Marty. Marty says happy anniversary to you and Lady Agnes. Or is that just an excuse to run off and see the Avengers? And yes, I'm kidding. We won't be running off to see the Avengers, that's for sure. But thank you for the kind wishes, Marty. Okay. Moran Monday, right? Yeah, and there's a certain way we go about establishing Moran Monday, isn't there? Oh, a little update, just for those of you who are keeping track. Had spent a great deal of time over the weekend testing out the mix desk that we hope to bring into line to replace this aging, awesome, freaking awesome, 10 years of service, and it's, you know, still hanging in there with some flaws and some beginnings of failure. But this Allen and Heath mix desk has served well. But this, over the weekend, we tested the next mix desk, and we tested it connected via FireWire to the MacBook Pro, and it performed magnificently. Now we have to take the next step and check it out vis-a-vis inputting data for sending to the stream. Then we'll know a little bit more. Okie dokie. So we're making progress. Slow but steady progress. And hopefully, little by little, big changes will take place. We're still, Agnes is still applying her prodigious, not inconsiderable Tetrising skills to trying to figure out how to turn this 14 by 8 space into a real live, honest to God video broadcast studio. We'll get there. We'll get there. But the real question is when. Ultimately, we're going to have several days of warm weather because stuff is going to go out the door, come back in the door. There will have to be a lot of heavy lifting and swearing involved. Not at anyone in particular, but just, you know, good prophylactic swearing. So, that's about all the updates I've got, I think. Oh, by the way, yeah, like I said, we can finish off April if we raise $200 this evening. And then get started on May. That being the case, the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab contribute, and remember the nosier fields you can just ignore, put in enough data to get you to the second screen where you either do credit card or go to PayPal, whatever. It's all about getting to the next screen. If you prefer to work via the U.S. Postal Service, and thank you very kindly for providing something to occupy the spiders so they won't chew the spider proof gloves off Boss Man Wayne's hands, thank you for that. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801, with a gentle reminder that checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but should instead be made payable to the Horn. That way, Boss Man Wayne can deal with them without either one of us having to drive 40 miles or anything like that. He just sticks it in the mail and sends it to the credit union. All happy. Okay, then. Yeah, it is that day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 27th of April? Yeah, that's a Monday. We know what that means.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You hear it there. The Calliope is hot and piping. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Right here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will hear Morans of all description. Right-wing Morans, Birther Morans, Deather Morans, Ninther Morans, Tenther Morans, Bircher Morans, Bagger Morans, Booger-eating Morans from the Booger Sphere, Libertarians, Republicans, Morans, one and all. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's about 5 cents per hour of programming for what you find here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, but it is unlike anything you're likely to experience today or on any Monday. A reminder to parents, adults, anyone with bags, small children, puppies, kittens, what have you, please keep your hands on them at all times, as the Morans can get grabby. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, Lord, yes. Indeed. The Calliope is working just fine this evening. And I'll be honest, I don't have it in me to include the unrest, the agony in Baltimore in any aspect of Moran Monday. We might talk about it a little bit later. And we might talk about it in particularly, well, okay, actually we can. You want Morans? I'll give you Morans. Morans, one and all. How about the Morans who are fans of the Baltimore Baseball Club, the Orioles? Some Baltimore Orioles fans got rather pissy recently because of the protests taking place surrounding the police killing of Freddie Gray, who somehow, despite the gentle laying on of hands by the Baltimore Police Department, wound up having a fatal fracturing of his spine. Go figure. Baltimore Orioles fans were getting pissy, pissing and moaning about the protest, because the protest had in fact interfered with their ability to enjoy what was once referred to as the national pastime. Mm-hmm. Because see, Saturday night, a local radio broadcaster in Balmer pissed and moaned about the protest because the protest had shut down Camden Yards, the baseball park, while the Orioles were still playing. And, well, goodness me, some baseball fans were inconvenienced by the protests regarding the killing of yet another individual with dark skin by a police department here in the greatest country in the world on earth right now ever. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when John P. Angelos, who is the chief operating officer of the Orioles, he's also the son of Peter Angelos, the owner. Peter Angelos, having made his fortune as a lawyer by representing people who were poisoned by corporations with the
with the corporately benign substance asbestos. Yes. In response to the pissing and moaning radio broadcaster in Ballmer, John P. Angelos took to Twitter on Saturday evening, and he said that he was far more concerned about the loss of jobs, about economic devastation, about an ever more militarized law enforcement that primarily targets an unfairly impoverished population in urban areas like Baltimore. Yeah. Then, really showing the morons the door, John Angelos said, "The innocent working families of all backgrounds whose lives and dreams have been cut short by excessive violence, surveillance, and other abuses of the Bill of Rights by government pay the true price, the ultimate price, and one that far exceeds the importances of any kids' game played tonight or ever at Camden Yards. We need to keep in mind people are suffering and dying around the U.S., and while we are thankful no one was injured at Camden Yards, there is a far bigger picture for poor Americans in Baltimore and everywhere who don't have jobs and are losing economic and civil rights, and this makes inconvenience at a ball game irrelevant in light of the needless suffering government is inflicting upon ordinary Americans." Now, to be fair, if I was reading that in just about any other context, I would say all that government this and government that sounded kind of teabaggery. But not in this case. Because, you see, the police really... Look, when you're sitting in ninth grade civics class, do we still have ninth grade civics class? Or maybe 12th grade government class? Do we still have 12th grade government class? The idea of government, capital G government, is that stuff that happens in Washington, D.C., or maybe happens in your state capital, in the case of Maryland, Annapolis. But on a real day-to-day level, the only interaction many people have with government, qua government, is the police. And the reality in this country is that if you are white, you stand a far greater chance of any interaction with police, even a negative one, not ending in your death than you do if you are anything but white. So, with that sense, I understand the usage of the word government in what appears to be a fairly carefully worded response by John Angelos. Let's make no mistakes about it. The Angelos family is rich, 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 rich. But it isn't often that we see a member of the 0.1% actually behaving as if we hoi polloi, we proles, and especially we hoi polloi proles, not including me, of dark-hued skin, acknowledging existence, let alone the plight of people who live in the greatest country on earth in the world today ever. So the Moran nomination then goes out to whoever the idiot was who was pissing and moaning about being inconvenienced at Camden Yards. among other things, he said he had a greater concern that and this from the Baltimore Sun, the past four-decade period during which an American political elite have shipped middle-class and working-class jobs away from Baltimore and cities and towns around the U.S. to third-world dictatorships like China. He said this has thrown tens of millions of good, hard-working Americans into economic devastation and an ever-declining standard of living and suffering. And yeah, he's kind of got a dog in this hunt, John Angelos does. Because going to the ball yard, you know, baseball teams play a 162-game season. That means 81 home games. 81 opportunities for the locals to come out and cheer the team on. But baseball has an economic barrier inherent to it because it's damn near impossible to get two people into the ballpark for less than $50. I think the day that Ferg and I went to see the Nationals play, We got through the gates for a total of, and it was one of those packages from the local supermarket. We got in for $30. And then there's, you know, a Coke, a hot dog, something like that, and bang, you're at $50 before you know what hit you. I mean, I looked at the $12 24-ounce cans of ordinary beer, and said, "Nah, you know, no." I mean, a beer and a hot dog at the ballpark. I mean, that's merkin. But not when the beer and the hot dog run $20. So we sat and enjoyed the baseball game. But what family of working class means can do that? Especially if you got two or three kids. And if you got two or three kids and you've ever tried taking them to the ballpark, trust me. As a parent, it'll gut you to hear, "No, I want a Coke." Oh, yeah. And so, you know, you don't go. Luda with an email noting, "Bob, in Merca, this is what we call a first world problem. Sure, it's annoying, but at least you're not in Kathmandu." Precisely. We have priority issues. We really, really do. But I bring up, as part of Moran Monday, I bring up the Orioles, John Angelos issue as part of, as ever, a larger thing. For instance, there's, and by the way, I heartily encourage you, Dr. Bill is back for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, a regular broadcast week for him, and I heartily encourage you to check out the discussion. Because it's got real relevance. Dr. Bill started out today talking about Hobby Lobby and concepts of religious liberty as the idea of religious liberty flowed from the founding of the nation and the ratification of the Constitution. You ain't going to find conversation like that much of anywhere outside the Horn. And talking about, you know, what religious liberty means in terms of the First Amendment and the broader Bill of Rights. So, let us visit the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, headquartered, I think, in New Orleans, isn't it? Back in 2010, a Border Patrol agent of the new United States of Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now ever, decided to shoulder or whatever his weapon and discharge it. Interestingly, the person at whom the Border Patrol agent was discharging his weapon was not on what we like to call Merkin soil. The teenager was, in point of fact, in Mexico. Well, Border Patrol agent Jesus Mesa, the Border Patrol, and the United States government were sued. It is undisputed that Border Patrol agent Jesus Mesa blew away 15-year-old Sergio Adrian Hernandez Guerreca. He shot him in the face when, quote, he poked his head out behind a pillar of a train trestle. Okay. Well, among other things, the parents of 15-year-old blown away teenager, Sergio Adrian Hernandez Guerreca, I don't know what you do with the G. They claimed that his civil rights had been violated, among them wrongful death. The three-judge panel ruling in the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said that the family of young Mr. Guerreca said a Fourth Amendment claim cannot be asserted by a Mexican citizen on Mexican soil with no significant connection to the United States. While there were differing rationales expressed in concurring opinions on whether Mesa violated Hernandez's Fifth Amendment rights, the court said no case law in 2010 when this episode occurred reasonably warned Agent Mesa that his conduct violated the Fifth Amendment. Jesus Christ. Don't you love that language? A Fourth Amendment claim, you know, illegal search, seizure. A Fourth Amendment claim cannot be asserted by a Mexican citizen on Mexican soil with no significant connection to the United States. Inherent in that statement, is that a bullet discharged from a firearm held by an agent of the United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth today ever, is not significant. Ask the kid, well, you can't, he's dead. Ask his parents whether that bullet was significant. So apparently there was an opening in the border fence, and Agent Jesus Mesa said he was surrounded by rock throwers when he responded to a group of four people who were suspected border crossers who were sneaking through a hole in the fence. According to an FBI agent, Mesa fired his weapon a number of times, but only after he had detained two of the border crossers. And he fired his weapon several times. Apparently, he was not distracted enough by the border crossers to prevent him from being able to aim and shoot 15-year-old Mr. Guerreca in the face. Must have gone to the Dick Cheney school of firearms targeting. Don't you love that? Let's take a quick trip over to look at the text of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. And see if we can suss our way through the doubtless Solonic reasoning of the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Got it back. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Because persons can be seized. And arguably, when you get shot in the face and killed, you've been pretty effectively seized. Aha! But there it is. The right of the people. You see, according to the three-judge panel of the Solomonic Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Mexicans aren't people. Not, you know, the people, like in we the people. Because we the people means Americans, citizens of the greatest country in the world on earth today ever. Yeah. So Agent Agent Jesus Mesa, the Agent Jesus Mesas of the world, can stand and blaze as long as the people they're standing and blazing at. Oh, no, the prepositional phrase, please. They can stand and blaze with legal impunity, according to the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, as long as the person at whom they are standing and blazing is a Mexican standing across the border on Mexican soil. Because that Mexican ain't got no Fourth Amendment rights against getting his ass seized by being shot in the face. Because he ain't the people. He's just some Mexican. Man, ain't we got us some justice? Hoo-wee! Now, see, previously, another three-judge panel had ruled that yes, he had a right, his family had a right to sue. Not under the Fourth Amendment. Oh, no. Now, here's the fun part. You remember how the FBI agent said that Agent Jesus Mesa only fired because he was getting rocks chucked at him? That rock chucking. That pisses the police off something. Fierce. They'll bring in snipers over that shit. Well, there was video. Because the video showed that the border crossers ran under a railroad that connects the U.S. and Mexico. And after Border Patrol agents had detained two of the Mexicans, an officer can be seen in the video pointing his firearm in the direction of another suspect about 60 feet away on the Mexican side of the border. Then two gunshots are heard, then a third gunshot, and then a suspect is seen running, and then witnesses scream they're throwing rocks as the officers began to stand and blaze with legal impunity because those Mexicans aren't the people. pretty disturbing. Also, pretty par for the course. This is how our legal system operates in America in 2015. So that's what happens to you if you're a 15-year-old Mexican who gets shot in the face. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals will tell you that you don't have any Fourth Amendment standing because you're not people. And, you know, this is one of those white privilege moments. White folks start throwing rocks and tearing shit up and burning things down. Nobody dies. Witness State College, Pennsylvania, a few years back. Witness Morgantown, West Virginia, last fall. Still pretty pathetic. We WVU students went bananas in the streets when we beat a Division II team. And they busted out windows and all kinds of stuff, and nobody died. On the other hand, the court will be there to whitewash things if it turns out you shoot a wrong color. Meanwhile, then, let us. That's what happens to you if you get shot in the face and you're Mexican. What if you are part of a group of people advocating for gay rights? And you need just some T-shirts, because every rally has to have T-shirts. And you need to have your T-shirts made, and you go to get them made at an outfit in Kentucky Stand. Well, remember how we were repeatedly told that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, it doesn't enshrine discrimination? Heck no! Well, Lexington, Kentucky has a non-discrimination order, and it includes discrimination against people based upon their sexual orientation. Okay? You know where this is going, don't you? Well, back in 2012, the Gay and Lesbian Services Organization needed T-shirts for its Lexington Pride Festival. And they went to an outfit called Hands On Originals. This is apparently a place in Lexington or somewhere nearby that makes T-shirts. And apparently are bigoted assholes. The owner of Hands On Originals is Blaine Adamson, who said, "I have deeply felt religious, and I will not make T-shirts for you homos." So, the Gay and Lesbian Services Organization filed a complaint based on the Lexington Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission order of non-discrimination, and the Human Rights Commission ruled that, yes, Hands On Originals had in fact violated that non-discrimination order and should have made the T-shirts. Enter, we've all read Moby Dick, right? We all know the opening line to Moby Dick. Call me Ishmael. Well, enter Kentucky Circuit Court Judge James Ishmael, to whom the bigot Blaine Adamson and Hands On Original appealed the ruling of the Lexington Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission order. Kentucky Circuit Judge James Ishmael held that the commission's ruling was improper, and he overturned it. He said instead that Hands On Originals, and presumably Blaine Adamson's, freedom of speech and religion had been trampled upon by those homos who wanted T-shirts. Here's where it gets fun. Judge Ishmael negotiated this little civil rights minefield by saying that no, Blaine Adamson and Hands On Originals didn't refuse to make the T-shirts because people were homosexual, but because the Pride Festival advocates, and this here is a quote, you can tell because I'm down into the stupid cornpone-ass voice, the Pride Festival promotes sexual activity outside of a marriage between one man and one woman. So if all the gay people who wanted T-shirts had been heterosexually married and the GLSO hadn't, So remember how the Religious Freedom Restoration Act wasn't going to discriminate against anybody? Remember how Hobby Lobby was going to be narrowly construed? Oops! Judge Ishmael said, the commission's order substantially burdens who, that's H-O-O, we'll leave the Abbott and Costello jokes for later, thank you. The commission's order substantially burdens whose and its owners' free exercise of religion, wherein the government punished who and its owners, almost impossible to avoid the Abbott and Costello bit, isn't it? Wherein the government punished who and its owners every day, wherein the... Stop it. Stop it, Spock. Star Trek reference. Wherein the government punished who and its owners by its order for exercising their sincerely held religious beliefs. You know what? I think we're quickly approaching the Middle Ages, or maybe the Dark Ages even, because we're taking these sincerely held religious beliefs on faith, aren't we? Where's the legal test to establish the sincerity of the religious beliefs? I think you know where I'm going, don't you? We need to be able to test the sincerity of the religious beliefs. And of course, the ancients knew how to do this. Ancient Rome, you bring the Christian before you and you say, renounce your Christ and do homage to the emperor and you may go your way. And they said, no, for I am a Christian, willing to die as did my Lord for my faith in him. And you take the Christian and you chuck him to the lions, and you've pretty well tested the sincerity of their faith, haven't you? Now, I'm not saying we need to be throwing Christians to the lions. We don't have enough lions. I'm saying, but really, I mean, Blaine Adamson of who? Let's say we tie him to a chair and get a white-hot poker and just tap the bottoms of his feet with it a little bit and see if his, okay, we're going to tap it, sure. Now, okay, you have sincerely held religious beliefs. We're going to tap, just barely touch your little foot with this white hot poker. I mean, we're not going to, you know, stick it down your gullet or up your butt or anything. We're just going to tap your little old footy with this here white hot poker and see how sincere your religious beliefs are. Would you rather have your little foot touched with a white hot poker, or would you rather make some goddamn T-shirts for the gay people? Now, if at that point in time he says, you know what, I think I can make some T-shirts, then automatically we know his religious beliefs are not sincerely held. And we have not even touched him with the white hot poker. Now, if he says, nope, I'll never make it, for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells me... Actually, he didn't tell me shit, because he doesn't say anything about being gay in there. It's all Paul and Leviticus and a bunch of Bronze Age bullshit. But no, my religion teaches me that I must endure the unendurable in order to prove my faith in my religion. Touch me with the poker. Psst. I'm sure that a white hot poker would probably occasion a little bit of screaming. But still. No, for I will not. Okay. All right. You're sincere. Hop along. I mean, the Yakuza are said to lop off the first joint of a little finger. Now, I'm just funning. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm nonviolent. But these religious bigots are being allowed to hurt people, stigmatize people, display revolting prejudice against people. How is it that we wind up with a balancing test of sincerely held religious belief, which one does choose? Okay, I mean, you're not born Christian. You're not born, well, I don't care what anybody says. You're not born Christian, you're not born Muslim, you're not born Jewish, you're not born Buddhist, you're not born Hindu. You are born human. And then later on, somebody, you have religion imposed upon you. And yet these sincerely held religious beliefs are being held to trump the way some humans, are actually born. Judge Call Me Ishmael even went so far as to note that he wasn't entirely sure that preventing discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation was a compelling government interest. You see, that's the test. You have to have a compelling state interest in order to compel conduct in a situation like this, or to protect a class. Now, when he said that, we found out exactly where Judge Call Me Ishmael falls on the ideological spectrum. Because if the government does not have a compelling interest in protecting the civil rights of people with a given sexual orientation, then one wonders if there's a legitimate compelling governmental interest in protecting people based upon race. Or gender. Or ethnic origin. but there is damn sure a compelling state interest in protecting sincerely held religious beliefs. And just in case you were wondering, we've moved on from wedding cakes, florists, and pizza parlors, and the next culture war will be fought over T-shirts. Suwanee, Georgia. An Alpha Graphics franchise there. Well, it's in T-shirts, but printers. They've refused to print wedding invitations for a same-sex couple, citing their sincerely held religious beliefs. Blah, 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 blah. Again, sincerely held religious beliefs that come from a faith that says that all you got to do is say, "Dear Jesus, sweet little baby Jesus, lying there in the manger in your swaddling clothes, little baby Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, who knows all and forgives all and is filled with divine grace, sweet little baby Jesus, today I printed some wedding invitations for a couple of them abominable sodomites, dear Jesus, what you never even said nothing about hating in your gospels. But I feel real bad about it because some gospel sharps out there who are hustling for all they're worth have told me that you don't like them." The abominable sodomites, not the hustlers, mind you. But anyway, dear Jesus, I went ahead and I printed them homosexual invitations, dear Jesus. And I was just hoping tonight, by the grace of your blood shed upon the tree, that you would forgive me, Jesus, for printing homosexual wedding invitations. Can you forgive me, Jesus, please? Because until I know you's forgive me, I can't forgive myself. And I overcharged them 20% too, Jesus. In your name, because I'll give 10 of that to your work, Lord, in the church. Oh, really? That's all you got to do in Christianity. I mean, at the very worst, if you're Roman Catholic, you got to show up and do the high sign and the hippy dippy shake, and you know, maybe you'll have to gargle with holy water or something, or dip your ink stained fingers in the holy water and say 14 Our Marys and 72 Hail Fathers or whatever. But that's it. I mean, no rack, no stretching, no white hot pokers. Their faith, not mine. Morons. Freaking morons. Oh, by the way, this is kind of fun. Note from Asa. Ordinarily, in Vancouver, but not right now, by God. Subject line: listening to the horn in the skies. Reporting from 35,000 feet somewhere above Oregon, I'm proud to say I'm listening to the horn live, even as we speak. Let them right-wingers have their goddamned AM radio. And provides, no less, photographic evidence. Listening, apparently, on TuneIn. Says it right there, head on with Bob Kincaid. I'll be dipped. Yep, and somewhere above the northern edge of Oregon, east of Portland, and north of Bend. That's just fun. Thank you, Asa. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Hey, Bob, I think our Mexican neighbors learned the deadly force against rock throwers from our Israeli allies. I have to admit, I thought the same thing. Meanwhile, Marty notes, a light tap with that white-hot poker isn't enough to prove sincerely held religious belief. Let's see these Christians follow the book with Matthew and give away all their worldly goods and money to the poor and follow the way. Oh, no, 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 no. No, that's a faith too far. Yeah, gee, you wonder if, you reckon, how do we stay out of this? You reckon when WHO prints T-shirts for Christians, do they get a 10% Christianity discount? WHO? Yeah, 10%. Now, to hear it said, you'd think that they really were getting the white hot poker treatment. I saw a hustle from Franklin Graham over the weekend on Facebook, talking about the persecution of those poor people, them poor bakers in Oregon. What had done had a $110,000 fine levied upon them for standing up for their closely held religious values and refusing to make a Homer sectional cake for a wedding. And then he went on to encourage people to give money to Samaritan's Purse, promising that they'll be taken care of. I responded to it and was immediately told by some mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing fundy that I had been taken in by Obama and his liberal cronies, typing with teabaggers. It's always rewarding. You don't have to wait long before you get a good giggle. And they're giving them away for free, cronies, standing over there next to the Calliope on a Halcon spring day. See, we're beginning to pile up a little bit of a collection here. I like that. Mad Mike in South Carolina in the chat room with an idea. Somebody should order a shitload of wedding invitations using a name that could be male or female, and then tell them after the invitations have been printed, that they're for a gay wedding. That's devious. Gerald with a note. Wait a minute. Obama's a liberal? The most liberal president in the new United States of America never, ever had. Absolutely. Liberal. And he has cronies. So it's 2 minutes before the hour on this here Moran Monday. We have many. In my mansion are many Morans. And you're welcome to bring your own nominations to the floor. If you want to do that, there are two different phone lines, 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178 is the first line. The other line is 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. That'll get you right through on the Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN. Of course, anywhere on the planet, if you've got a decent internet connection and Skype, you can reach the program by contacting me on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn, and you'll be right into the heart of conversation radio. A little note, we welcome first-time callers, because we've never, except for like when I push the wrong button and stuff, We've never lost a caller, and this is probably the easiest. If you've never called a radio station, if you've never called a radio program, this is probably the easiest one to do it in because, well, no screening, nobody asking you know, what it is you want to talk about. That's the essence of conversation, and you're welcome to join in. Yeah, Gerald, I did too. Gerald said, I just thought Obama was a socialist. Well, see, socialist is worse than liberal. But with liberal, you get croonies. Danny in Louisiana Stan says, thanks, Bob, for stating the obvious. I'm good at that. I've also been known to help insomniacs find sleep. Danny says, no one's ever been born with any religion, ever, of any kind. At best, they're born into a family of fill-in-the-blank-here religion. And I know a lot of people that have switched or changed religions during their lives or denounced all religion as well. Why do the fundies hang all their arguments about sexual orientation being a choice and not an immutable characteristic like race, and no one in the media ever points out that religion is a choice and people choose religions all the time? That is, until you just did. Stupid fuckers. Thank you, Danny. Thank you kindly. One of these days you'll work up the courage to call in. I know you will. So, with regard to deeply held religious beliefs, a bumper now from our buddy Ron in Raleigh. This is listener-supported conversation radio thus far. No support this evening. Oh, well. But this is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Reach out of space.
The original version by Depeche Mode. Yes, indeed. Your own personal Jesus. Robert in Morgantown with an observation. How do you get kids to church? Violent war video games. Win $50 to GameStop. And there it is. May the 1st, Horizons Church, across from the fire department. Xbox 360 Halo Tournament to win a $50 gift card to GameStop. Who's invited? Middle and high school. Free to attend, and door prizes will be given. It actually says door prizes with given throughout the evening. Food, drinks, music, and fun. Pool tournament. Winner will receive a $25 gift card from Grafton's Hometown Pizza. Horizons Church. Halo 360 Xbox tournament. Would any of the gamers like to chime in and tell me exactly what goes on in Halo? Because, I mean, it sounds kind of religious. Maybe you run around touching people with your magic halo, and they receive the eternal life-giving grace of the Lord of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that how Halo works? Yeah, you know. So there's and by the way, more Morans coming. But let's run over to the Gizmo line. Would that be John? Hang on a minute, John. Stand by. Wrong button. There you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, you sounded kidding. I was like, I know I got a sucky phone, but damn, he sounds like he's...
No, you weren't properly interfaced into the Gizmo matrix.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I didn't take the blue pill. Oh, Lord. I'm done. Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, Halo is a first-person shooter game. It's like a little camera where you have like a, where you could like look out the screen's like looking out of a camera or something like
looking
that.
Looking out of your own eyeballs and shooting and killing and torturing and mayhem and murdering and, right.
Yeah, if that was my way to go to heaven, would be to get the Xbox. I'm doomed because my thumbs don't work, so. That's why I don't have PlayStation or anything like that, because I suck at it. I'm more of a computer game strategy type guy. So, me point click all good. You can mess with thumbs and push XX twice, left two button up twice. I had a friend of mine play the Final Fantasy stuff on PlayStation. And, I mean, watching his fingers move was like, you know, after a while I was taking fifths of bourbon just to keep up with him.
Yeah, so just to be clear, these followers of the Prince of Peace are sponsoring a high school and middle school video game tournament where people are going to engage in first-person butchery. Cyber.
Well, there are.
I mean, it's not real.
No, well,
Except for maybe the impact on the adolescent lizard brain.
Well, remember an early conversation we had last week. This is the same type of, this is a lot of your, people that will eventually be, recruited into the, CIA drone program for piloting drones and stuff. Well, they sponsor crap like this too, so they can get, and so the really talented people, the ones with very low moral standards, they would have no problem blowing the hell out of somebody, even if it's just a computer, computer image. I mean, that's, again, that reflects back to what we talked about last week. You depersonalize all this stuff where you don't actually smell the blood and get that like coppery tang in your mouth. It's just, it's just a damn video game. It doesn't matter if you believe it's a real person. It just points on a damn scoreboard.
Yeah. And Halo has got to be a lot better than that Left Behind game where you get extra points for shooting the homos.
Yeah, it's the same stuff. The closest thing I ever got to it was the Castle Wolfenstein back like the first or second generation. Castle Wolfenstein stuff.
I admit I've actually enjoyed many a happy hour slaying zombies on Left 4 Dead, but
yeah. Like I said, I just don't have the hands for it. My hand reflexes are pitifully slow.
No. You don't have to have a real iron skillet, John.
No, but like I said, my biggest exposure was PlayStation. It was like to do some of the special moves, you'd have to push this button twice while pushing up with your thumb on the joystick and do something else.
Oh no, I always played all my Left 4 Dead right here on the computer keyboard.
Yeah, maybe that's something I can do, but the only game I really play much of now is the Civilization V game.
I haven't played any video games in so long I can't remember when the last time was.
Well, I used to be a big computer, but I used to be a big aficionado of that. But ever since they got so now, they're so freaking worried about they might lose a dollar. You've got to go through Steam authentications and all this other mess. You go to the store, you pay $70 for a damn game, then you got to go on the internet to get the game registered. You got to have an account with Steam, and you got to give them all this information, and you can't run the game unless the Steam program's running to continue to verify that you are the correct user, blah, 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 blah. And I already have enough trouble with NSA having a type on my backside as it is, so I'm resisting the Big Brother as much as possible. It's a thankless task, but somebody's got to do it.
And you're the man for the job.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're such a handsome man, July Lotzer. But yeah, you're the thing I've always been so amazed by religion is that, you know, there's not aside from some very, very, very sketchy and really soft possibilities about things like, where people nearly die or technically are dead for a couple of minutes and they come back and they talk about all kinds of weird shit they saw. And that's extremely soft pedal stuff. There is no evidence to any kind of afterlife. But most of this religion, particularly Christianity, runs the same song and dance. You live the way we tell you to live. You do, and be as much of a nasty son of a bitch, bigot, bastard, clumpy. And then when you die, no matter how miserable your life was, you get the brass ring. And you go get to sit at the feet of Jesus, gaze adoringly in his loving eyes. You know, I was amazed by that. I mean, these people are so damn homophobic, but they all talk about, we want to love Jesus. Really? I don't know. Call me mean, call me reading more into it than it really is. Maybe I just don't have the spiritual soul, but a lot of the language sounds awful damn homophobic, homosexual to begin with. You know, since most of it seems to come from white males, they all say, we want to love Jesus and all that stuff. I'm going, I don't know. If I had a psychology degree, I might be willing to start doing a little armchair psychology and wonder, maybe there's a little something going on here that you're not admitting.
Yeah, you reckon?
Well, no, it just causes the little brain cells to kind of wander around. You know, I tinker around the outer edges of a vague form of religiosity, which I call the reality of truth. And that I've always believed that religion defers goodness. Because if you were utterly and completely convinced that this was it, you had a little tiny window of time in the whole span of creation to live, and you knew that one day you would be dead, would it not be a very powerful motivator to do the best you could, to maybe leave the world a little bit better off than you would? But if you've got an idea that you're going to live forever or you have some afterlife, then that perverts the whole system, and you don't care about this world anymore because you're more worried about the next world. And so they'll talk
that's a constant and a very dynamic question within all of this context, because yeah, if this is it and there's no dress rehearsal, now you and me, John, we say that means that you got to make the best of it you possibly can, be decent to people, be good. But if you ask the right wingers, they'll tell you, no, that just means everybody's going to go out and be raping and a murdering. Because there's no religion to keep them moral.
Yeah, most of the raping and murdering went on with religion to begin with.
Well, there is that.
I mean, Jimmy Christmas, you know, I can't remember the freak's name, but a commander or a representative of the Pope in one of the European crusades just asked, how do we tell which ones are the Christians and which ones aren't? And the guy said, well, just kill them all. Let God sort them out. So, I mean, you know, I'm back in Texas again, and of course it's always like you know having pour a bottle of Lysol on yourself at the end of the day when you leave this state sometimes, because they're all getting wound up now. They're starting the very beginning of the presidential mania is beginning to percolate down here, and they're like, oh, I'll be so damn glad when that goddamn, you know, insert N-word, blah, blah. Well, Obama's gone, but damn, he's going to, you know, we got to get King Hillary, because she's worse than Obama. She's your vote. She's going to, if she gets elected, you kiss this country goodbye, because that'll be it. And I'm going, and in some ways, I'm in multiple mindsets. Yes, if she gets elected, fine. Get your first woman and all that good stuff. But I don't know, maybe you said it or maybe one of the other podcasters did, but I'm at this point in the stage. It's been 6-7 years of this Obama bashing, and I'm tired of listening to it. I'm tired of listening to these damn right-wingers. If a damn bull weevil eats a damn cotton bowl, oh, that was Obama did that. And if Hillary gets in, then you're going to talk about another 4 or 8 years of the bill. So it'll not be so much the black bashing, but it'll be the woman bashing. I'm not looking forward to it, because there's so much crap going on. You got the whole TPP thing is starting to take on some hell-fight steam, arguments and everything going on. And these people, you know, the country is going to a handbasket, using the religious terms, going to hell in a handbasket, and the whole bunch of them are going, well, I don't care. And I'm going, well, you don't care, but it's going down the pikes for you anyway, and then when you start to care, it'll be too damn late.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible. I mean, you know, give a damn video game away to attract the young people into a religion, and
they're not even giving the video game away. They're just giving away a $50 gift certificate to GameStop. It's the least these guys could do would be to, you know, pony up for a damned Xbox, and it's not even an Xbox One, I don't think.
No, I've been to GameStop.
Cheap bastards.
I used to buy my games at GameStop because it was the only place that one batch could get through what I wanted. Because these newer games, again, like I said, you have the whole Steam and all the, you know, the old games, you bought them, you put them in the computer, you loaded them up, and you play them. But now they don't even carry those anymore, and they were told, the last time I stopped at GameStop, to talk to Lurch there, they were told by their company that they're no longer allowed to carry any games that are not attached to the Steam cloud networking whole thing. So all the good games that I used to play, I can't replace them anymore. So, and $50 gift certificate, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was sponsored, and if you go back and probably look at the corporate who owns GameStop, is probably another goddamn Hobby Lobby version of.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but.
You know, I see it so. You know, I'm seeing more and more of it out here. You've got these damn trucking companies, some of them small, few of them larger, and they all. I think if I were to drive a 5-mile stretch of highway, I would run across at least 3 trucks within that 5 miles that have got some religious mumbo jumbo. You'll have either John 3:16 or it's not a choice, it's a child.
Oh, dear God, yeah. No, that it's amazing the amount of right wing religious ideology. And you know, do the companies that are hiring these guys with these trucks know that they're paying these guys to advertise this kind of stuff?
No, I mean, they're subsidizing. No, they're corporate.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
These are like Covenant Transport. They've been, Covenant Transport was the first company I ever went with in the trucking business. And what was so funny about it is that in the orientation, I mean, they talked, in part of their orientation videos, they were talking about how Christian company were and how much they gave to charities. And the owners of the company are, they're deacons in churches, and they are great givers of this, that, something else. And they had as part of their, and they talked about how family friendly they were. And one of the things they had in their orientation was, you know, if something happens in your family and you're out on the road and you know, you have a member of your personal family, something happens, if push comes to shove, we will park your truck at a truck stop and we will fly you home. Well, about 7 months after I started, that's exactly what happened. I got a call from the county my mother lived in, and she had died. And the medical examiner's office, they went through paperwork, and they found my phone number, and they called me up and said, hey, we've got your mother here in County Moore, you know, and there's some questions about her death because although she had a doctor, she didn't die under a doctor's supervision, so, you know, we gotta go through the whole legal process, and, you know, it'd be a good idea if you come. So, all right, I'll be there as soon as I can. I'm driving a truck. I'm in Utah right now. This is Virginia I have to get to, so, it may be a little bit. Okay, so I called the company, and they were, oh my God, Judge, we're so sorry. Okay, well, go ahead and get your delivery done tomorrow, and we'll start the process. And I was thinking back on that, orientation. Well, gee, I'm figuring they're probably going to make arrangements to park the truck and some.
Right, and get another driver in there, and you go to, right, no.
Oh, hell no.
No, you ran right up against capitalism there, John.
Yeah, it was more like, oh, well, we got this load for you, you're going to run you down to Texas, you're going to swap out with this guy, and then you're going to go, and to make a short story short, it would have taken me about 12 days to bounce and dribble back and forth to get there. And, you know, I won't go with all the boring details about how much I call them dirty names. And, we came to an arrangement, but only after I basically just told them, you know, do something sexually that you couldn't do to yourself and blah, blah. And then I immediately called an attorney and had them, because, you know, just in the trucking business, one of the worst things you could do is what they call abandon a truck or abandon a load. And I mean, in economic sense, I understand it. I mean, you know, trucks are $100,000 worth of equipment, cargo, and all that stuff. That's a major deal. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, you guys made an implicit promise. And you see it on their trucks even today. You see a little scroll and all that stuff about how they're such Christian companies. And there was a company, I don't know if they're still out there or not, but the actual company, you'll enjoy this, the company is called Jesus, I can't remember the exact name, but it was
Jesus Take the Wheel Trucking?
Something like that. It was. They even had a little travel center in Amarillo for a little while, but they did do business, so they eventually closed it. They were full core. Going to the travel center, I stopped in there just out of curiosity one day, and I walked in there, and it's like in the TV room they had recurring movies of biblical movies at one time. I mean, they had like the Ten Commandments on like a repeat cycle and things like that. I'm like, this is Charlton Heston did. Well, that was a great movie, a great telling, spiritual, whatever. And you would occasionally see him out on the road. You know, actual trucks with the full paint job up down the side of the truck. It was remarkable. And, you know, I agree, it's your trucks, your company, you can do what you want. But I've always found that, in my mind, it's like, and for the sake of politeness, I'll keep the name of the travel center out, but there is a travel center in the southern part of the country almost every travel center you go to, they call them travel centers now. You go to them and you can buy things like lottery tickets.
I was amazed. I went into one a year or so ago, and it blew my mind. I hadn't been in one in a very long time, and what was available in there just, whoa, it was like a little Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Walmart with three times the prices. But, the same pack of, the same water that you buy at Walmart for $1.25 is $1.90, $2. So that was, but what got me is this particular truck stop. I was like, first time I had been there, because it's been there a couple, three years now, but, I hadn't been doing a lot of the West until recently. So I just stopped in and I was like, oh, where's the water machine? And the girl, the clerk, she looks at me like I had cut a raging bean fart right in front of her. And she goes, "We're a Christian place. We don't sell lottery tickets." And the dripping contempt that came out of her mouth was like, I stood out with my mouth. I was like, what? I mean, lottery, while it may not be the best thing in the world, but damn it, it's a profit center, and people buy and sell, especially, where you're located at. She says, well, we don't care, because, lotteries is sinful. And then I come to find out this particular travel center is doing that rather interesting little deal where they get people from a less advantaged environment, like homeless shelters and stuff, and they have them come in and work for, like, minimum wage and get them a place to live nearby. This travel center's out in the boonies. And so they have almost a captive workforce, and they're constantly surrounded by the religion. And I'm going, boy, this is a pretty good racket you guys got going. And in my mind, I'm saying, this is a pretty good racket you guys got going on here. Get these people in, and you barely paying minimum wage, but then you're providing housing. So I'm wondering if some of that wages are being kicked back into housing allotments and food allotments, something like that. I'm curious to find out what little conversation I was able to get to find out what little I did. Once they figured out I was actually trying to get information, they clammed up real fast. And, I was like, this is, I'm wondering if this is even legal or not. It's like amazing the kind of stuff we do this get away with.
You're out there on the road, and in your particular profession, you have an opportunity to see things that are, well, maybe the rest of us don't. And the fact of the matter is, if your eyes are open to it, even outside of your given profession, it's out there. I mean, you just have to be sensitive to it to realize how thoroughly the religion industry is trying to assault every aspect of what we have in the way of constitutional self-governance.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I listened to a piece of him last week. Your Dr. Bill there, he was beginning the process of getting into the religious stuff. But it's a fairly, it's a conversation that has been beat on before. And you are right. These people, their attitude, and this is kind of goes back to a piece of the conversation we had back some time ago. These people believe that they are fighting a war, and that there are no rules that apply to them. And if they think they can get away with, hiding their assets into tax exempt status and sink their money into a bunch of real estate, they can sell off in a shell corporation or all that stuff, and get people to come work for you for next to nothing. It was
Well, I mean, okay, classic case in point. This story was out last week, didn't get to it. But remember when we had the story of Creflo Dollar wanting a new Learjet? Well, it turns out that he said the devil took his Learjet away from him, because the devil made people aware of him trying to get a Learjet out of the congregation. Nice. But he also said something about did he also say he wanted a starship? It was just nuts. It was crazy.
Well, it's like, like I said, I spent some time on the streets, and one of the jobs I got down in Florida before I became back in the trucking business, I was what they politely called a body mover. And my job down in Florida was go to murders and crime scenes, traffic accidents, stuff like that. And in Florida, like most states, if you die outside of a doctor's care, then the medical examiner has to check you out, make sure you died legitimately and not wasn't murdered.
Yeah.
Or just
to establish cause of death.
Yeah, to satisfy whatever. Well, my job was pretty simple. I was living a pretty rough lifestyle. I was in shelter down there in Florida. And this guy comes up one day, and he says, "Well, you're articulate. You don't seem to have a lot of problems. You don't have any problems with drugs, at least. No, I'm just in a mindset right now that just not ready to get back out to it." And says, "But then the short version of it is that he basically offered me a job." I'm like, "Okay, I've never done that before. It sounds kind of shitty, but okay. I mean, old Sam goes, I'll do anything once and twice if I like it." And so I got the job. And my what was really funny about it is that hey, this guy was incredibly religious, and in the year and a half I worked with the guy, I figured out a lot about how his business operated. He would go out and he would, first of all, my job was to go, me and another guy, the operating teams, we'd go out to a crime scene or an auto accident or whatever. And, once the body's released, we'd, load it up and take it to the medical center's office for, autopsy. And it's an autopsy. That was basically the sum total of our job. And, it's not like the CSI you see on TV, 90% of the cases don't get anything near the level that they show on TV, but at least there's a general idea anyway. So, but this guy, in order to run his business as cheaply as possible, he had his housing and everything, it was under the religious church organization. And in the areas where he couldn't get it under the church organization, for instance, here I am just an employee, and I'm in housing. I'm making minimum wage for back almost 20 years ago. So you've got $3.35, $4, $5 an hour.
I remember $3.35 an hour.
Yeah, I was making like really dunk wages, but because he was paying me out at the table, I didn't have any taxes taken out. And what was really funny about it is, now here's this guy, big Bible thumper. Whenever he happened to come up on a once or twice a month visit, it was the church. Go to church and do all the whole church stuff. And you felt you had to, because that was kind of like the implicit in the job offer. But it amazed me at the fact that, well, here's this guy, big Bible thumper, big talker about morals and this and that and something else. And yet here's this guy who has the trailer that we're staying in Brevard County that he didn't want to put in his company name, so he basically gave me the money and I bought the trailer in order to keep it out of his company name, because he couldn't put that part of it into his church holdings. And the amount of shenanigans this guy was doing, like I said, year and a half, I'm watching this guy, and I'm going, this guy is, I mean, dog's legs aren't this crooked. This guy was...
No, they'd have to corkscrew him into the, auger him into the ground, because he's too, yeah, I get it.
Well, about 2 years after I left him, they finally caught up with his butt, because he was tied in some crematories down there. They started finding bodies that were supposed to be cremated.
Oh, dear God, that was that guy?
It was tied into that bunch, yeah. That bunch down there was like four or five of them all tied. much, like I said, this guy walks around, and it was funny as hell. He'd come up to visit us, and he'd be wearing his nice little white shirt, little tie, and he had this really fancy Bible, nice, beautiful stitched leather with gold lettering and stuff, and he had it, and it was actually a signed, authentic, Ernest Kingsley commemorative Bible. That's the first time I ever heard the
oh man, we had the Jim and Tammy Baker PTL Bible.
Yeah, and I was going. I asked him one day. I said, "How the hell did you get that?" I said, "I didn't know this guy." He says, "Oh, he's a great man. He has a TV show and everything." And then some months later, I saw it for the first time. And the first remark in my head was, "This guy's doing all this healing, but if he has such healing powers, how come he can't grow his own hair?" He got that really bad toupee, and I'm like, damn, that's just, I don't know. I'm thinking healing power, and you bald as a cue ball.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, hold on. Anywho, it was a pleasure to give you a buzz, and I'll let you go and talk to somebody else.
I appreciate it. John, you have yourself a good evening, and stay safe. Drive it careful.
Well, you know, grannies are worth 100 points, and 200 if they have walkers.
Oh, you'll burn in hell for that, John, if there was one.
Yeah, that's okay. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye now. From out on the road, our buddy John. Out of the corner of my eye, I'm watching a live video feed from Baltimore. I think we've been to this movie before. A row of police officers, armed to the teeth, standing across the middle of the road. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan has declared a state of emergency. He has activated the National Guard as a result of the riots. Yeah. Of course, there's always the question of who starts the riots. I noticed earlier today that the typical they threw rocks at us defense was being mounted by the police. But then, lo and behold, up popped videos of police throwing rocks at protesters. Kind of makes you wonder a little bit. It does. Just, you know, just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. And yeah, remember? Rioting is the language of the voiceless. We might do well to pay a little attention to that notion. James in Chicago with an email. Longtime listener, James says, love you, your family, and the Horn family. James says, a bumper sticker I recently saw in Evanston, Illinois read, I'll believe that corporations are people when Texas executes one. Funny, huh? Yeah. But it's a very good message, James notes, and he says, and we progressives and Democrats need to be messaging like this every day, 24/7. Well, we try to do it for at least 3 hours a night here, and thanks for being part of the conversation, James. But it's the absolute truth. In the modern metric in America is, can you execute one? And until there's a corporate death penalty out there, I think it's just a matter of judicially generated privilege. By the way, a note coming in from our buddy Tom in the Bay Area. He says, how's about a April's almost over challenge? So it's on the table for the next hour and 20 minutes. Tom will match the next $100 that comes in, and we are at present at zero. Tom will match the next $100 that comes in the next hour and 20 minutes so that your contribution will be doubled and we will be finished with April fundraising and can get started tomorrow on May. It's awfully nice of Tom to do that, and it is very helpful when we have doubling challenges out there because it makes, you know, it all matters. And if it's $5, it turns into 10. If it's 10, it turns to 20, etc. You know how to do all that better than I do. I don't cipher well on the fly or Gazinta or anything else. So, by all means, please take Tom up on his kind offer. I've still got a Moran segment yet to do this evening, but let's run over to the Gizmo line where I think we have Jim in Colorado.
You're correct, sir.
You got out just in time, my friend.
What do you mean?
The storms that blew through.
I talked with my mother today, and she was telling me, the storms are horrible. Well, I mean, we had some, it's been kind of rainy the last 2 days. Not too bad today. Yesterday, it's just kind of, I've noticed different regions have different rains. Wasn't like, down in the, Gulf South, you have those, miniature tropical storms.
Convection driven pop up stuff.
Yeah, which will, throw out a couple of tornadoes if you're lucky. I don't know, I don't think they have that here, not yet. I don't know if global warming's affected the climate that much. But, it's so nice. It's just kind of interesting trying to get used to a new city, and trying to figure out where everything, and Denver's not small, not a little small town.
No, there's a whole lot of Denver. But are you settling in?
Yeah, I'm at an extended stay place. I thought this place would be cheaper, but what happened, I got off the plane, and then I went, I got my two big suitcases and my one over, carry, it's a big bag, basically,
Yeah.
And I'm walking around with it. I'm thinking, I ended up downtown Denver. It turns out that's one of the most expensive places around. And so then I ended up jumping this cab. I said, just take me to someplace relatively cheap. And where I'm at right now, I'm paying like half what I was paying,
Well, it takes a lot of courage to do what you did. I don't think I could do it. Just back up and go.
I mean, you got a wife, you got kids, you got a lot. You got your radio show. Maybe you should take your radio show on the road.
we've been known to do that from time to time.
That would be a great idea. Let's see. I'm going to use the old Bob Dylan line. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Bunch of ducks in the row and stuff, and it's just it's simple stuff, but transportationally impaired, i.e. I don't drive, even though there's a pretty good mass transit system, until you get used to a mass transit system, it's pro-Greek. I mean, like, they have on 16th Street, they have a free shuttle, which is great, but it only goes up and down about 16, 18 blocks, 16th Street, and that's downtown, and that's, upper part of town. I didn't see any, there's a hostel, but I'm kind of old for that. I mean, I could deal with it, but I don't know if it, maybe I'll check it out after my, because I'll stay at this place for a while just to get away from the first place, which was, since they just charge too much, man,
Yeah.
But it's Denver, so I guess they think they can they just did, so. That's just the way it is. Welcome to Capitalism 101, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, Jim. But you feel at this point that you made the right choice?
Hell yeah. I'm going to have to make myself make the rep. It's going to have to pull, you know, as Bob Marley, you know, said, get up, stand up for your rights and make it work, you know. A lot of people were going through a lot. This isn't easy, but a lot of people are going through a lot tougher stuff than this. And I mean, historical figures and stuff. And I know some of that's, bullshit, propaganda, but I'm still at the adventure part. It was weird, like the night or two before I left, I was, on the computer and ended up catching little David Byrne Talking Heads live from, I guess it was 83, 84. Just like, and I caught the concert. It was great. You know, sound of the gunfire. I'm used to it now. You know, the refrain comes back to me. But, the interesting thing about that is, everybody thinks their music is so special, but most of that's determined by, you know, the three things: location, 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 time, location in the area of the world you're born in, and, I guess you could say your economic location, you know. Some people like disco, some people, I couldn't stand disco. You don't seem like you would have been much of a disco guy.
Yeah, well, I've always been more of a rock and roll type, but no, disco had its place. I mean, you can't exactly do a lot of meaningful dancing unless maybe you're on acid to, you know, Gata Da Vida. But I mean, you know, to each his own. But I mean,
yeah, I guess.
I mean, I wasn't a, you know, I remember back when Peter Godbold was doing his program, there was one evening that he had a guest on, and I can't remember who, but it was, I think a DJ who went back to look at the underlying bigotry and homophobia under that goofy-ass promotion. What was it? Was it Chicago or Detroit where they blew up the disco record? And I had I'd never viewed it in that light before, but it was made abundantly clear that the gay community, wherever it was, that they took it as a deliberate slur, because you know a lot of disco was associated with the gay community and the gay bars, and it'd be kind of
well,
hard not to.
That's where that music came out. That's what I mean about the three L's: location, location, location. That's when that music came out. That's not why I just didn't like it. I didn't like the Bee Gees. I just didn't like their music. I mean, those are one song I kind of like: "Lonely Days, Lonely Nights." What would it be? Because it's got an interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm going back, but I mean.
Well, the Bee Gees didn't start out as a disco act. They just kind of.
No.
They kind of got pulled into it by virtue of the Saturday Night Live soundtrack. Not Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, they jumped into it wholeheartedly. Their career wasn't much. I mean, they'd show up on Johnny Carson once in a while, and that was about it, as I remember. I mean, but that's what I remember. But, so far, so good. Things are going to be sunny, a lot more sunnier tomorrow from what I hear in the weather, and going to get my internet hook up with the so I was able to listen to you. I caught some of your show. I think I caught it all Friday and Saturday. I just couldn't. It was just later. I couldn't call in. Two great shows.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't.
Not Friday and Saturday. Thursday, Friday, whatever.
Yeah, because I don't answer the phone on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
And we were up to our eyeballs in repatching stuff and seeing what worked. Thank you. Thank you. I thought we had some Jim Dandy conversations both nights.
Well, the professor,
Dr. Bill? Yeah.
I mean, when I can catch him, he's great, you know. I mean, that's like you say, kind of, He's kind of like a locomotive start. So it's kind of slow. And it builds and builds. And the next thing you know, it's just, he's going full blast. But, you know, like I say, the thing is, I mean, I listen to you, I listen to a lot of 6 hours out of the day. And I'm trying to get on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but, you know, you keep on rejecting my request. I think that's some sort of conspiracy. But, yeah, so far so good. And on that note, unless you have any other things to say, I'm going to let you go, let somebody else get through.
All right, Jim, it's good to hear from you. Stay safe. Keep us updated. And look forward to our next conversation.
All right.
All right, you take care. Bye now. Our buddy Jim, formerly of Louisiana Stan, now a proud citizen of Colorado. We're not hanging the Stan on Colorado just yet. Although, admittedly, hey, there's a classic Moran moment. So Colorado has term limits for its members of the state legislature. Term limits were not thought well of by the framers of the Constitution, because term limits are actually supposed to be, you know, votes. If you've reached the limit of your term, the framers thought that the electorate would have the good common sense to throw your sorry ass out. Well, not so in Colorado. The present Republican leader in the Colorado State Senate is term limited, and he has to say bye-bye and find some other gig as of 2016 in November. That means his Senate seat is up for grabs. Where, you might ask, is that senator from? Why, he's from, Colorado Springs. And he's term limited. Guess who's already announced he's a candidate for that seat? That's right. Disgraced former Navy chaplain Gordon Chappie Klingenschmidt. The guy who said that a woman got her belly carved open and her gestating fetus killed because God was punishing America by punishing her. Sick bastard. But, you know, the law of unintended consequences. Remember when the term limit craze went through, and this will be a good way to make sure we keep fresh ideas in the legislature. Enjoy your fresh ideas, Colorado. Get ready to say Senator Klingenschmidt. Because listen, just because the guy got himself in some trouble and he's an odious heap of dung doesn't mean that Republicans won't vote for him. If he survives the primary process and becomes the Republican nominee for that Senate seat, he will be the senator from Colorado Springs. Plain and simple. By the way, I mentioned that the governor of Maryland has imposed or declared a state of emergency and has activated the National Guard. You might be interested to know that since 2013, the Baltimore police have killed more than 100 people. Safe to say, the majority of those people were not white. Just a question. Did the governor of Maryland declare a state of emergency when any of those 100 people were killed in the last year and a half? 2 years? Uh-uh. Has any governor declared a state of emergency anywhere when a police officer has killed an unarmed individual, black, white, whatever? Uh-uh. But by God, you let some people pissed off about people getting murdered by the police, you let them throw a couple of rocks and see how long it takes before the tanks and the armored personnel carriers and the grenade launchers and the snipers are in your neighborhood. because Merca. Mm-hmm. It's about 5 minutes before the hour. Remember, we have a $100 matching challenge on the table, courtesy of our good friend Tom in the Bay Area. He's willing to double the first $100 that comes in this evening to finish up April's fundraising. Thank you, Tom. I hope people will take you up on your challenge. The interface, the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. And I generally get worn out, tired of having to fundraise to keep the program on the air. God knows, if I ever hit the lottery, there will never be another fundraising call. I promise you that. Or if for some reason or another there's ever some large sum of money that'll keep us going for a couple of years, we'll just shut down fundraising until we need to. But I don't feel so bad all of a sudden. I just got, and this is not a criticism, this is just to remember that many of us are in the same boat. I just saw an email land from the folks over at Common Dreams. And Common Dreams says that they are near being finished off. And they need to raise right now, yesterday, $13,700. Bless their hearts. There's no TV show over there. There's no broadcast that I'm aware of. There's no live broadcasting I'm aware of at all. It's just a text site. Good text, good work. But $13,700. Okay. I hope they get it. But that kind of puts perspective on trying to raise 100 or 150 in an evening. Just saying. I had mentioned a few minutes ago that I had... Oh, thank you, Marty. Blow Up Disco Record Night was held at the old Comiskey Park in Chicago. I thought it was Chicago. July 12, 1979. The White Sox had to forfeit the game because the field was unplayable. And that was all... Bill Veeck was a very creative baseball owner. But there was an underpinning of homophobia to it, at least according to people from the gay community of that era who witnessed it happening. I learned all kinds of stuff in the time I spent producing Peter Godbolt's Strictly Confidential. That was one of them. Now, let's see. Lines are open, of course. It's More and Monday. Your nominations are more than welcome. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. That having been said, maybe we'll take a little break and then come back to the other Moran Monday segment that I had in mind, or your calls, or a combination of the two. Everything is possible. Yeah, we'll take a little break. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, hey, maybe and then during the break, who knows, maybe Tom's challenge will be fulfilled. Who knows? Thanks. We'll be back. Thank you.
another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue and the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her. On that I give my word. In a world of still like death and men who are fighting today won. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Not a word was spoke between us. There was little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it is always safe and warm. Come in and I will give you shelter from the storm. You were burned out from exhaustion.
I turned around, and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me gracefully, took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Now there's a wall between us.
Preacher rides a mount, but nothing really matters much. It's doom alone that counts. The one-eyed undertaker blows his funeral horn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I've heard newborn babies wailing like a mourning dove, and old men with their broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? It's hopeless and forlorn. Come in, she says, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
In a little hilltop village, they can't.
But I'm bound across the line. A beauty who walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the hands of time to when you and God were born, I know that I could give you shelter from the storm. Come in and I will give you shelter from the storm.
Ronnie Crowell covering a beautiful Bob Dylan tune, Shelter from the Storm. This is The Horn, Moran Monday, to be particular. And thanks going out to Sal and to Thomas, who have together taken us down to only $80 to go to meet Tom's made it to the end of April challenge. That's what we're calling it. It's hard to improve on something like that. Or, April's almost over challenge, whichever way you prefer it. So thank you, Sal, and thank you, Thomas, both very much. Eight more folks at $10 apiece, and we're right there. And every one of those tens gets turned into a 20. It's like a miracle. Only it's just the determination of those who want to see this radio network continue, month by agonizing month. Okay, so, this being Moran Monday, well, trust me, this is going to make sense. So they had the White House Correspondents' Dinner this past weekend, Saturday night at the Hilton in Washington, D.C. Quite the soiree it is. Celebrities and members of the for-profit media swanning around and rubbing elbows. And it's a high old time full of jokes and carrying on. I loved it when and I'm ashamed of myself. I can't remember her name right off. But shame on me. But the evening's featured comedian looked at Barack Obama and said, "Your hair has gotten so white, it can talk back to police now." And a lot of the jokes that came out of that evening, you know me. I in my youth, I played vinyl albums backwards to hear the secret messages from the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. Turn me on, Dick Man, right? Or, there's one on the wall, but never mind. But sometimes, while Freud said sometimes a cigar is only a cigar, sometimes things aren't what they seem. Sometimes, and it almost feels, I mean, this really does feel like a cultural thing to me, that we cannot talk in earnest, straightforward fashion about what's wrong with our country now, outside of making a joke out of it. A dear friend of mine, with whom I was roommates in the newborn unit at Eliza Coffey Memorial Hospital, he and I share a near birthday, and we've been friends all our lives. He once told me that he was so averse to eating vegetables when he was a child that his mama would have to hide the broccoli, or whatever else, the peas, the carrots, what have you. She would have to, in feeding him, she would have to hide the vegetables behind a little dollop of pudding at the end of the spoon to get him to take it into to eat it. And then, of course, there is the song from Disney's Mary Poppins film, "A Spoonful of Sugar Helps the Medicine Go Down." It seems that that's the way we are in this era in terms of how we, in terms of the only damn ways that we can talk about our serious systemic problems in this country. Telling a black president, the first one ever, that his hair has become so white it can talk back to police on an evening when protests had boiled over into violence not 60 miles away is a brilliant example of that. And, of course, I can never see the White House Correspondents' Dinner without thinking back to that evening when Dim Leader, having started a war with the people of Iraq that ultimately wound up with as many as or more than a million civilian casualties on the whim of a dried-out former cokehead in the White House, George Bush, and remembering them showing the video of him crawling around on the floor of the Oval Office and looking under the coffee table and under the couch and saying, "No weapons of mass destruction here either." Yeah. Or during the presidency of Barack Obama, the evening that he was joking about having the Jonas Brothers droned at the same time that a SEAL team was invading and extrajudicially killing Osama bin Laden. So I get a little bit of more than queasy at what they refer to as the nerd prom. The nerds in question, of course, being the members of the for-profit media who are there in all of their tuxes and their shiny, glittery, sequined gowns and rubbing old elbows and shoulders and doing all that swanning, who are anything but nerds. But, you know, using that phrase, nerd prom, somehow makes it seem as though they all go back to work on Monday morning and put on their little pince-nez quizzers that hang at the ends of the bridges of their noses and they put on their little fingerless gloves because, well, the newsroom isn't heated and they have ink-stained hands from setting type. Bullshit. They're millionaires. The Wolf Blitzerses and the Chuck Todds and et cetera. George Snuffleupagus and the like. But it's almost, I don't know, look back at, for instance, the Baroque era. Yeah, I would say if it's not Baroque, don't fix it. No, but the Baroque is this gaudy, over-the-top ornamentation that was taking place in a Europe where the vast majority of people were so goddamn dirt poor that many people went through a life without ever having anything resembling a decent meal. In our current America, it feels a little Baroque. Badly Baroque. And we need to fix it. But we can't. Or won't. We could have a discussion on whether it's can't or won't. I think it's can't because a whole bunch of us would like to fix it, but a noisy plurality of birthers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, booger eaters, etc., insist on trying to drive the final nails into this once great nation's coffin. And so we come to a bit from the White House Correspondents' Dinner of this past Saturday. No. Yeah, Devin. Death Eaters! That's them. No, the nominees are not President Obama or Luther, his anger translator. I I thought it was a nice grab that the White House decided they would finally let this brilliant moment that has been evolving over the years from Key and Peele, Obama's anger translator, actually work with the guy who never expresses his anger. And so you wind up with this. I hope. There we go. No. It'll... So here we go.
Now, I often joke about tensions between me and the press, but honestly, what they say doesn't bother me. I understand we've got an adversarial system. I'm a mellow sort of guy. And that's why I invited Luther, my anger translator, to join me here tonight. Hold on to your lily white butts. In our fast-changing world, traditions like the White House Correspondents' Dinner are important.
I mean, really? What is this dinner? And why am I required to come to it? Jeb Bush, do you really want to do this?
Because despite our differences, we count on the press to shed light on the most important issues of the day.
And we can count on Fox News to terrify old white people with some nonsense. Sharia law is coming to Cleveland. Run for the damn hills.
Yeah. See what I mean? Because that's only funny. Take it out of context, and there's nothing funny about that. It's only funny because it is an absolute fact. It is not, a horse walks into the bar, the bartender looks at the horse and says, why the long face? It's not funny all by itself. It's not two cannibals are eating a clown and one looks at the other and says, does this taste funny to you? It's not funny by itself. It's only funny because Fox really does just stir up stupid shit to scare already terrified, ignorant old white people. Because I don't have it to hand, but I'm guessing the African American viewership of Fox is a number that is approaching absolute zero. I mean, okay, so maybe Ben Carson and Herb Cain turn it on once in a while, or maybe well, never mind. But the President of the United States cannot come out and say Fox really sucks, because then Fox would have a hissy and Flush Flimball would have a baby on the air. Yeah. And the entire media landscape that is, of course, owned by right-wing corporations start to finish in the United States would talk about nothing for the next 3 months. Barack Obama said something mean to Fox. Did you see that? More Team News live action coverage eyewitnesses. Yeah. But it wasn't just Fox. No, there's more.
That was ridiculous.
We won't always see eye to eye.
Oh, and CNN, thank you so much for the wall-to-wall Ebola coverage. For 2 whole weeks, we were one step away from the Walking Dead. And then y'all got up and just moved on to the next day. That was awesome. Oh, and by the way, just if you haven't noticed, you don't have Ebola.
Is it me, or is the laughter a little less uproariously raucous there? Because they realize they're getting the truth. And how interesting is it that when it comes to speaking truth to power, the power that has to have the truth spoken to it is the goddamn fourth estate that's supposed to be speaking truth to power in the first place. Well, that's where we are. But there's more. There's more.
But I still deeply appreciate the work that you do.
Y'all remember when I had that big old hole in the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, and then I plugged it? Remember that? Which Obama's Katrina was that one? Was that 19 or was it 20? Because I can't remember.
Protecting our democracy is more important than ever. For example, the Supreme Court ruled that...
Wait, did you notice there was no laughter on the words, our democracy? Because I thought that was the laugh line of the night, our democracy. Every time I hear our democracy, I either kick furniture or laugh hysterically. Our democracy. Whoop! Our democracy. Once again, I will repeat for perhaps the newbies in the Horn Family Commune congregation that in this country, in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now today, ever, democracy has never been operational and always aspirational. Our democracy. But I guess if you're sitting there in the White House Correspondents Association dinner in your tux or your glittering gown, and you've been delivered by limo, and you're sitting next to some celebrity, maybe it's a little easier to think that we live in a democracy than it is if one day you were riding your bicycle in Baltimore, Maryland, and the cops looked at you and you looked at the cops and knew that with your black skin, ain't nothing gonna good come out of this, and so you run, and the next thing you know, they have broken your spine and killed you! Our democracy. But anyway, let's get back to the audio.
The donor who gave Ted Cruz $6 million was just exercising free speech.
Yeah, it's the kind of speech like this. I just wasted $6 million.
And it's not just Republicans. Hillary will have to raise huge sums of money, too.
Oh, yeah. She gonna get that money. She gonna get all the money. Khaleesi is coming to Westeros. So watch out.
I love me some Hillary Clinton dragon references. Yeah.
The nonstop focus on billionaire donors creates real problems for our democracy.
And that's why...
Still no laughter at our democracy. I don't get it.
We're running for a third term!
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Who the hell said that?
But we do need to stay focused on some big challenges, like climate change.
Hey, listen, y'all, if you haven't noticed...
This is the important part.
But we do need to stay focused on some big challenges, like climate change.
Hey, listen, y'all, if you haven't noticed, California is bone dry. It looked like a trailer for the new Mad Max movie up in there. Y'all think that Bradley Cooper came here because he wants to talk to Chuck Todd? He needed a glass of water! Come on!
The science is clear. The science is clear. 9 out of the 10 hottest years ever came in the last decade.
Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know how to count to 10.
Rising seas, more violent storms.
You got mosquitoes. Sweaty people on the train stinking it up. It's just nasty.
I mean, look at what's happening right now. Every serious scientist says we need to act. The Pentagon says it's a national security risk. Miami floods on a sunny day, and instead of doing anything about it, we've got elected officials throwing snowballs in the Senate.
I think I got it, bro.
It is crazy. What about our kids? Okay. What kind of stupid, short-sighted, irresponsible bull?
Whoa! Hey!
What?
Yeah. Okay, no, hey!
Oh,
my goodness, they're just laughing their fool little for-profit media heads off because that one in the White House almost acted like the angry Negro they've been telling the world he secretly Kenyan Muslim is all these years. Goodness gracious.
What? All due respect, sir, you don't need an anger translator. You need counseling. So now I'm out of here, man. I ain't trying to get into all this.
The clip ends there, but he later leans over to Michelle Obama in a stage whisper and says,
"He crazy."
She nods knowingly.
There really is something fin de l'Empire about this, something end of empire about this. When the only, because everything that Barack Obama mentioned in that litany about climate change was deadly, heartbreakingly real. And the people who live in those places know that it's real because they live that it's real. But the only way we can talk about it, I'm not just talking about the White House Correspondents Association dinner. Stephen Colbert could only talk about things that are serious in America through the veil of a made-up, fake, over-the-top right-winger. John Stewart can only talk about these things if he first puts a little dollop of sweet pudding in front of the bitterness and pain. John Oliver is doing a brilliant job at HBO, and he'll get pretty serious. But it's got to have a couple of laugh lines in front of it. Because we as a nation are incapable of having a serious sit-down about where we are, both on the planet, in the universe, in the world, and with regard to each other. Even as I speak, the mayor of Baltimore, a woman of color, went on TV and called the protesters in Baltimore thugs. We bleed in this country, and that's a hell of a we for me to use, shiny and white as I am. But we bleed in this country from self-inflicted wounds. I have yet to hear a police officer called a thug. Even the one who shot a man in the back in South Carolina a couple of weeks ago. Nobody called him a thug. Because, oh my God, the head of the benevolent and protective lodge of police fraternal members would come out and, oh, how dare they call our membership thugs? We're out there on the mean streets every goddamn day, protecting against these Negro hooligans. These things don't happen because somebody just decides to bash a windshield in or torch a police car. But God knows, if you say something like that, or maybe we should understand, we should try to reach some level of comprehension of why they do happen. Well, there'll be some goddamn right-winger over on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, saying, well, see, he wants to have a sensitivity session with the thugs. So there they were Saturday night, talking truth about climate change. And just because I'm me, I can't help mentioning that we're talking, there's the president cracking wise about climate change, but talking about real things. And he's been in the office for 6 years. And how many hillbillies have been poisoned in those 6 years? How many times has President Obama spoken out against the Appalachian apocalypse? Hint, not once. And yet for years, we've been besieged here in central Appalachia by a bunch of millionaire thugs who convinced the Otne Ute Aitbre around here that there was a war. Wait. War on coal! I think I got a little Mr. Eddie there for a minute. Shoo, buzzard. Yeah, it's so funny because President Obama almost said bullshit. And I mean, you couldn't say that word in front of the for-profit media. They're delicate sensitivities. But once again, what he's talking about is very, very real. I saw a photograph earlier today from one of my friends on Facebook of some little intersection out in the countryside in Texas. And it looked like it had just snowed. Only the ground was completely covered in hailstones on this, the 27th day of April, 2015. And when I said to our buddy Jim in Colorado that he was lucky he got out when he did, I was referring to a monster storm that blew up out of no damn where and lashed the bejesus out of the Gulf Coast region in minutes. It had with it hurricane-force winds. In Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, Stan, I saw video footage of a freight train being blown off its tracks. This wasn't some hurricane out there swirling around in the Gulf and finally making landfall. This was just bloop, and it blew up. Blew across from Texas, across Louisiana, Stan, knocked a freight train off of its tracks. Damn cars fell about 50 feet off the elevated railway. And then it blew in to Mobile Bay. It's always fun to watch the for-profit media go down there to the Gulf Coast, down to the Redneck Riviera, lower Alabama, because invariably they're going to display their for-profit media Otne Ute Aitbre-ness. Because sooner or later, some member of the for-profit media will call it mobile. And they did. But lo and behold, there in Mobile Bay at that point in time, they had a regatta going on. And while most people may hear the word yacht and think, you know, 1% millionaires, it's not. Everybody knows that I have a boat fantasy, a sailboat fantasy. Well, you can go and look around. You can get into one not so dearly. You don't have to be J.P. Gottrocks. And most of these boats have some form of radar, communications, internet, GPS, God knows what. And they pay pretty close attention to the weather. It can get icky down there pretty quick. Well, you know, anywhere by the sea can get icky in a hurry under the right circumstances. But, I mean, in a matter of minutes, a storm was on top of them that was blowing 80-mile-an-hour hurricane-force winds. And last I checked, four people had disappeared in the storm, not yet to be found. It would be nice to know that it had been updated in the last couple of hours and that number was down to zero. Yes, first world problems. Nepal, I get it. Because that too, oh good God, that's a monumental horror. But as far as I know, does anyone know different? They're not fracking in Nepal yet, are they? But climate change has ruined a hell of a lot of the ice cover of Everest, and there's a boatload of change taking place there, too. Who knows what we're going to learn is interconnected to climate change? Look at the uncombusted massive bubbles of methane blowing out of the Siberian, the melted Siberian tundra. Yeah. But when the question was asked, why were there not storm warnings put out? The answer given from the weather experts was, well, hell, we put out storm warnings all the time, but this one came up so damn fast, there was no time to warn anybody. I don't know about you, but that smells like climate change. But we can only talk about it as a joke. When, in fact, if we had responsible journalism, real, responsible, for-profit journalism in this country, that clown from Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe, wouldn't be able to show his face in public after his goddamn snowball stunt in the Senate. But we don't, so he still walks about and nobody spits on the ground when he approaches. Because he has a sincerely held religious belief, I guess, that Jesus will never allow the planet to get completely and totally screwed. Or maybe he has a deep and sincere and abiding faith in the power of his money that it'll keep him from being screwed. And by the way, much in the same vein that the joke was made, and it was no joke, I mean, I remember us doing programs, the joke was made about CNN trying to terrify the country into thinking it everybody had Ebola. Well, now, Chicken Noodle News is reporting that three of those dangerous Negro gangs in Baltimore, you know, the Crips and the Bloods and some other gang, all got together and they sat down and had a little Potsdam conference. And they agreed that they would have a ceasefire amongst each other and that they would go to war with the police, making Baltimore a very dangerous place. Meanwhile, we all know that three street gangs can't agree on which liquor store to knock over. Or if. They'll go to war over who has the best damn pizza. But there's no percentage in that. It's no fun to actually talk about the real root causes of what happens time after time after time. Instead, we wind up with postings on Facebook of a guy who starts by saying, I'm not a racist, but... and posts a picture of himself in some sort of combat vest in front of an American flag flying backwards. He's white, of course. In front of an American flag flying backwards as, I guess, a sign of distress, while he pours out a bottle of Kool-Aid and sets fire to a bucket of fried chicken. This photo is in response to all those un-American black punks in Baltimore chanting, fuck America, while burning the U.S. flag. As a proud American and coming from a long line of U.S. veterans, disrespecting our flag like that makes me furious beyond words. I love this country for the principles and foundation that it was built on. Countless people have died just so you have the right to disrespect and trash-talk our country. If you honestly don't like it here in America, period, then leave. It's as simple as that. If any of my friends have any American balls and aren't focused on that transgender washed-out murderer, period, then share this picture, period. I want this to reach Baltimore, period. Before anyone starts calling me a racist or any of that crap, this picture is aimed at any pieces of shit that have burned the U.S. flag. I have black friends, old co-workers, who also strongly disagree with Baltimore Ferguson. Notice this is for everybody who burns the flag, but he addresses it directly to those un-American black punks in Baltimore. Merca. Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh notes by email, Bob, the folks you're talking about actually believe they're fixing the country. No matter how much they destroy the country, they think they're fixing it. Liberals are destroying the country, was in a letter in today's paper. Get your head around that. Oh, hell yeah. By the way, we are now, with 17 minutes to go in the program, we are now only $70 away from meeting Tom's... almost the end of April challenge. Hopefully that can happen in the next 17 minutes, or perhaps between now and the beginning of tomorrow's program. It's vitally important that it does. So just a gentle reminder that when we see the ha-has, and the Luther bit was genuinely funny, the Obama anger translator bit that Key and Peele have done for years is hilarious. But if we sit there and just yuck it up at the jokes, well, then even the humor is without point. Oh, and by the way, don't think that any of the members of the for-profit media took that shit to heart, because they didn't. Yeah, you knew, didn't you, Gerald? David Southern. By the way, he was so proud of his post that he took down his post, and then he completely eliminated his Facebook account. So much for all that gun-toting courage, because, like, by the way, there's an assault rifle with a scope mounted on it in the picture, too. He's holding that in the hand that he's not using to pour out the Kool-Aid. Still haven't figured out quite yet how he got that bucket of chicken to burn like it is. Let's run over to the gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, Mike?
Ain't nothing to it. Hey, I'm listening to some of this stuff, and you're totally right about this, about the corporate media and the rest of it. It's, it had to be an orgy over there with all those prostitutes in one place, you know what I mean? You know, Chuck Toad, you know, Lion Williams, all these people. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, that's the real problem. The job of the Fourth Estate, the press, is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Well, not anymore, because they're comfortable.
Yeah, I said they don't do either.
Yeah.
You know, they put on the tuxedo and they sit there and they, you know, they drink the wine, eat the meal, and yuck it up. And the only way that they'll ever talk about any of this on the airwaves is if it is a joke. And that's really a sad commentary on America and the press, all of it. You know, I'm not just Fox News. I mean, you know, by far they're the worst, but all the rest of them are just as bad. You know, they're none of them any good. But here's something. I know that you're about as obsessive compulsive anal as I am about watching these commercials and stuff. And have you seen the new Walmart commercial?
No.
No, I mean, you know, they're running a PR thing, Walmart is.
And, well, I never got around to it, Mike, but there's a huge right-wing conspiracy theory that's blowing around out there about Walmart right now. I don't know if, and maybe whatever this ad is, maybe this is what occasioned it, because in an effort to stop anybody from even breathing the word union, Walmart suddenly had plumbing problems and shut down a handful of stores and put about 2,000 people out of work.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, you know, you talked about that on your show a while back, and I remember that. And, of course, you know, we know that was this place where all the strikes were for the Black Friday and all the rest of the stuff. It was just they just waited long enough that they could do it and not get caught for it. But they've got a new PR ad out, Walmart does. And you watch this, when you see the new Walmart ad, you watch for this, because you know how the talk all over the nation is the fight for 15.
Yeah.
$15 an hour, okay? Well, in the Walmart ad, you know, and they're talking about all the things they're doing, and it says that it was really subliminal, but I know you'll see it when you see the ad. The ad says, "And we're raising the wages of our employees," and the light number 15 on the checkout aisle lights up.
You're kidding me.
Swear to God, Bob, you watch this ad, or you can probably go look it up on commercials on YouTube, and you can see this. But as soon as the guy says, "We're raising the wages of our employees," number 15 lights up. Aisle 15 is open. You know, and it's subliminal, but you know that is the entire.
Yeah, but if you picked it up, Mike, it didn't, at least from the subliminal standpoint, it didn't work.
No, but I mean, for me it doesn't, because I know what they're doing. You know what they're doing. We both know what they're doing, okay? But when you see this in the ad, it looks like we're raising the wages to 15. Of course, they're not. They're, you know,
no.
People would be lucky
in most cases, Walmart had to raise the wages of its lowest paid workers in several states because those states passed a raise in the minimum wage.
Right.
Now then,
but what I'm saying.
Then Walmart came out and said, well, we're raising our wages, but what they didn't tell you was that they were restructuring their employee hierarchy, and they ditched a lot of people and put them out of work.
Well, I got to tell you, you watch that ad when you see it, and it looks like they're raising their wages to the 15, but it's not happening, of course. But I wanted to mention one more thing. I wasn't going to get on the phone and rant tonight or anything. I just wanted to mention a few things. You were talking about the storm down there in Mobile. Well, the last I heard was two people were known dead and four people were missing. And, you know, that storm came up all of a sudden. There were 15-foot waves, capsizes, boats and stuff. But that was the latest I've heard was, you know, two known dead and four missing. And as far as the stuff over there in Nepal goes, I mean, Everest and that whole area over there is just a huge tectonic plate eruption over there. That's why Everest is highest.
Well, I actually had to go and look around a little bit, Mike, to try to find out. But yeah, there's a a subduction zone right there?
Absolutely, yeah. That's, and it pushes up, so you know they had to be expecting this is going to happen again, because you don't get to be the highest mountain in the world because nothing's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, true. But now the ice cap is melting. There's flooding.
Yeah.
Then, as a result of this earthquake, there were a number of avalanches. The climbing camps were devastated. And you know, you see the video, and I don't quite know how to approach this, Mike, but you see the video and you see the kinds of buildings that have collapsed. And those are simply buildings that are, those are buildings that are, how do I put
it's
it?
Haiti. It's Haiti all over.
Well, they're meant to collapse. They're meant to collapse.
They're all the buildings. They're not, exactly right.
They're not engineered to withstand earthquakes because it's a poor country.
Yep.
And
just like Haiti, when they had the earthquakes and stuff down there, just like that, all those buildings that were,
right. So instead of trade deals, maybe what we need to do, maybe what we really need to export from the United States is some anti-earthquake architectural technology. But hell, where's the money to be made in that?
Good luck with that. It's like our news and stuff. You know, I mean, it used to be that the news, ABC, CBS, NBC, all the news were losing propositions for all the networks, and but that was what they did so that they got the funding from advertising and stuff. Now the news probably makes more money than anything else on television, and that's just so sad. And so, at the same time, they're making the money, they're also selling, and you know, you're saying it, all the mowing commercials, the energy commercials, and all the rest of the stuff, the Viagra commercials, and every possible type of medicine you can sell is sold on the nightly news every night. And, this is where, these networks and stuff are getting a ton of money. And, the news, the 30-minute newscast, that they did, that Lyon Williams was doing, okay, that 30-minute newscast, when you actually got all the for-profit commercials and stuff out of it, you maybe had 17 minutes of news, and most of that was fluff. And none of it is ever going to be covering, debates, wide-ranging debates that aren't so narrow that no real opinion, can be had. It's not the people's fault so much as it is the press in this country. We don't have a press anymore. And I was really sad to hear what you were saying about Common Dreams, because that's my favorite news website.
I love them, too. I do, too. But, what I'm getting, maybe it was a little snide, a little snarky. I didn't mean it to come across that way. But, it seems like if you're progressive and you're trying to work that side of the street, we all wind up in the same damn boat, bailing with the same thimble.
Yeah.
So,
because nobody's given advertising money and stuff, that are going to actually tell the truth that actually hurts corporate America. I mean, nobody's going to support that. It has to be, reader supported. The corporations and stuff are cutting us down so much that we don't have any money to support anything anymore. We can't even support ourselves. I mean, we're all wage slaves and don't have, hardly any time or money to do anything.
Oh, and by the way, I just had a note from Gerald, who went and found the Walmart ad and went, "Holy shit, he's right about the Walmart ad." Oh my! So there it is.
Bob, you got to look at it. You got to see it. Get him to send you the link and take a look.
I got the link right here. As quick as the program's over, I'm going to have a look.
But that fight for 15, and they light that up just as they say they're raising wages. That is just so damn obscene. It's not even funny. I mean, to us, it's not. To everybody else watching it, they think, "Oh, goody, Walmart's doing great." But it's bullshit. It's
well, but then again, Mike, not to rain on anybody's parade, but the fight for 15 is something that is largely known about in progressive circles, and I caution against thinking that it has broader application, because I don't think it does, and it's very, very dangerous. Well, okay, it's not very, very dangerous, but it is easy to fall into the trap of thinking that issues that matter matter to us on the progressive side matter to the rest of America. We wish they did.
Right.
We had a big enough megaphone to make it matter. But there's a whole bunch of America, Mike, that sees that 15 light up and they say, "Hell, I wish when I was in Walmart I could get an open lane. I got to stand in line for 15 minutes every time I'm there."
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it was almost like they were thumbing their nose at us when they did it. That's the impression that I got from it over the fight for 15, because they're not talking about $15 an hour. They're not. paying that, you know. But that's what it was. It was like a thumb in your nose, like, here, here's your 15, you know. I got your 15 right here. That's the way it was. But you got to watch the ad. You'll get the idea. You can't miss it.
I absolutely will. Just quick, I've got the link right here, courtesy of Gerald. So I appreciate you telling me about it, because that I don't know if it's been put out there into social media, but it sure needs to be.
Yeah. Well, I know. I know if you watch commercials like I do, you pick up all the nuances and stuff that they put in them. Okay. I know that just, you know, how you talk about the commercials and stuff that you have seen, and I do the same thing, and that just happened to be one that just...
Well, really, the commercial life of the United States is the reflection of where the United States is. And for instance, it's like something I've noted in the past. We will know that, for instance, we will know that the gay community has achieved full equality on that day when Viagra and Cialis put an ad out there of a couple of middle-aged guys.
Yeah.
We'll know the gay community has reached full equality when there's some tight pants clad little rent boy walking down a boardwalk by the lake like the gauze dressed woman with the English accent does.
Yeah, maybe assless chaps or something like that, you know.
hey, look, I've already been corrected, Mike. All chaps are assless, okay? It's a redundancy.
It is. I agree with you. It is.
All right, Mike. You have yourself a good evening. I gotta roll out of here. We're right on top of it.
You do the same thing, Bob. We'll talk to you again later, okay?
All right. Bye now. Mad Mike calling from South Carolina stand. And it is. It's time to get out of here. Like I said, hopefully 7 folks at 10 or 14 folks at 5 or whatever the combination is needed will step up and match or will step up and kick in the $100, well, $70 now, that are needed in order for Tom to complete his match. And we'll be done with April, and we can get a head start on May, which would be awful nice. So... thanks everybody. I hope this was as good a Moran Monday for you as it was for me. And we'll catch you for Titanic Tuesday tomorrow. Remember, no program on Friday. That's anniversary night. So thanks go out to our all volunteer staff, to our news ninjas, to our chat room moderators, to John Fox in Australia, to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org, ACACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.